And so I want to start by defining edification for us as we think through what does this mean that we edify the saints? What exactly are we doing? And as we have been seeking to do throughout this, we are defining our terms, we are defining our activities and our purposes based on Scripture. And so as we describe edification, we can say it simply that edification is Christians helping Christians be more like Christ. It's as far as definitions go, it's really not a very difficult concept. But what Ephesians 4 tells us is really gives us, fleshes that out, tells us what this edification looks like. Some of that is how this edification is accomplished. So we see verse 11 that Christ gave gifts to the church. He gave leadership gifts to the church. And he gave those leadership gifts to mature the saints, to do the work of the ministry, so the body of Christ will be edified. And as we're going to go to, in just a couple of minutes, to 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says essentially the same thing in 1 Corinthians 14, that gifts have been given to the church for the purpose of edification. And what this edified church looks like, we see in verse 13, we see a unity in doctrine, till we all come in the unity of the faith, that not simply a faith, the base faith or the basic faith of I believe in Jesus, so that certainly is foundational, but when you see in the New Testament the two words, the faith, usually, and I would, in every instance that I'm aware of, it is describing a body of doctrine, that there is the apostolic teaching, and that we are in unity together in doctrine. There's also a familiarity or an intimacy with the Son of God, and so that he goes on and says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, that as we're seeking to be edifying, we're seeking to promote unity in doctrine, seeking to promote a greater knowledge, a greater intimacy, a greater fellowship with Christ. And also, we see as well a maturity in Christ, in Christianity, unto a perfect man, that we are grown-ups in Christ. So that he goes on in verse 15, he says we may grow up into him in all things. In verse 14, he uses the comparison of children, that we not be children that are tossed about with every wind of doctrine that comes along, but that we are grown up, that we are mature in Christ. And then he says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then again, as I said in verse 15, we speak the truth in love that we may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, even Christ. And this, I would say this is the centerpiece of edification. That's why one reason I sum it up as I do is edification is helping one another be like Jesus. And so as we think about this aspect of edification, it's not just about encouragement, though that certainly is a part of it. It's not just about giving Christian comfort, though that's a part of it. It certainly is not encouraging believers to follow their dreams or to pursue their goals or to fulfill their potential. We're not talking about a kind of a vague, nebulous, be the best you can be kind of edification. Rather, we're talking about a very particular and a very pointed form of edification, which we are, and again, a biblical definition of edification, in which we are helping one another really shed your own personal identity to become more effective imitators of Jesus. So that one of the things we're doing in edification is helping us put aside the old man, as he says later in this chapter, and to put on the new man, which is Christ. That we be walking in Christ's likeness. So this edification is all about Christ. A likeness. Ultimately, if we separate edification from that purpose of being like Jesus, it is not biblical edification. There is a definite purpose or goal in mind as we describe this, that it is that we reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The standard given to us is Christ, and that is what we are striving to measure up to, and to help one another measure up to that fullness of Christ. And then he goes on, as I've already alluded to, verse 14, particularly, is not just a unity in doctrine, but also stability in doctrine, that we are not tossed about. And then verse 15, that there is an ability in ministry. We are able to speak the truth in love so that one another grows up into Christ's likeness. And so we summarize all of this, so we have the particular aspects of it. We summarize it by saying we are being more like Christ. And I don't mean just being in actions. It's not just a matter of, you know, we wear the WWJD bracelets and ask ourselves that question before we make a decision. I'm talking about really a whole person, that our heart, our attitudes, our desires, our goals, our feelings are all being conformed to Christ's likeness. So go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and if you're familiar with the book of Corinthians, you know 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, Paul is confronting and addressing some major problems in relation to the spiritual gifts in the church in Corinth. And so that there was a horrible abuse of the spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts were being used as some sort of self-promotion, of gaining notoriety or applause within the church. And so Paul is writing to tell them and to instruct them biblically on what the spiritual gifts are all about. So you have 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gist of it is that God has given spiritual gifts, and he has given them as he wills for the benefit of the whole body. And he gives them uniquely to each individual, that not every gift the church is not comprised of people who all have the same gift. Then we'd all be one big eyeball. The whole body is an eye, where's the ears to hear? The whole body is a hand, where's the feet to move? That's the analogy Paul is using, that we have been given differing gifts for the benefit and the completion of the whole. Chapter 13, probably one of the most familiar chapters of 1 Corinthians, is a chapter on love, charity, describing what charity is. And so that he says, if we have all of these marvelous things, I have all faith, I have the gift of prophecy and understanding, and I give all my goods to feed the poor, I'm generous to so much so much so that I'm sacrificing my own life, I'm giving my own body for the cause of Christ, and yet I do not have charity, it's worthless. And so he says now, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 14, follow after charity. Charity is primary here. Love for one another is the issue. So we pursue this, we hunt it down, we track it, and we continue to chase it down. And then he says, desire spiritual gifts. So he's not saying at all that the gifts are unimportant and that we should not be concerned about spiritual gifts. He's saying there is a desire, there should be a desire for that spiritual gifts. And he emphasizes the gift of prophecy, that explanation of the telling of the Word of God. I think we would equate it more with preaching in the term we use today. But that, he says, desire that because, verse 2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. So if I come in here and I begin to preach to you in Swahili, I don't know Swahili, but if I begin to preach to you in Swahili, it may be interesting for a little while, just, you know, fascinating for a moment, but I'm not teaching you anything. You're not learning anything from it. not speaking unto you, because nobody's understanding. So he says in verse 3, but he that prophesieth, he that speaks the word of God plainly, speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. So if I was to stand up here and I was to suddenly break out in Swahili and preach this marvelous, beautiful, fluent, and oratorically masterful message, I'm not going to edify anybody but me. And I think Paul's using that term edification there, not in the in the sense of building up to Christ's likeness, but rather in a self-promotional sense. I'm going to elevate myself rather than, if you will, elevating the church. So he says in verse 5, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edification. The gifts are given for the purpose of edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us everyone has been gifted. If you are the child of God, you have a supernatural spiritual ability for ministry in the church. But I can say that as a blanket statement, no exceptions. Because that's exactly what 1 Corinthians 12 says. If you are a believer, you have a spiritual gift. And you have that gift for the purpose of serving within the church. And you utilize that gift for the edification of the church. So in the example, in the context of what Paul is saying here, he's describing these speaking gifts. You have the one that is very, very impressive, the ability to speak in a language I've never learned, and one that, well, sometimes is not quite so impressive. The ability to communicate in plain language the Word of God is not as prized, if you will, as that ability to speak in a language I don't know. And yet what Paul puts the emphasis upon is the clear communication. Because when the church gathers together, it gathers together to be built up into Christ's likeness. So that as he goes on there and he uses the picture of musical instruments. If you take and you know, go up to the piano and just start banging on it, it means nothing. But you go up to the piano and now there's, if you will, there's a language that is written out in those little dots on the page. And even though I myself recognize I don't understand it, yet at the same time I recognize there's a huge difference being communicated between that which is skillfully playing something and that which is just making a discordant noise. And what Paul is saying is you may stand up and to continue with my piano analogy, you may stand up and in a very impressive fashion beat away at the piano keys, and you may make an exuberant, loud noise, but if it is not sensible, it really is of no use to edification. And so if we stand up and we minister and just make sounds, it's of no use to edification. Rather, we speak clearly that we may be like Christ. And so he says, to keep moving through this chapter, verse 12, he says, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, the Corinthians wanted the spiritual gifts. They were hungering for these things. And he does not necessarily rebuke them for the desire for spiritual gifts, but what he tells them is now seek these gifts and seek the excelling in these things to the edification of the church. We look at these gifts, and this is one reason I do stress, and I try to stress at times, we are gifted. And because the temptation is to say, well, I don't really have any spiritual gifts. There's not really anything I can do in the ministry. Hogwash. You have a spiritual gift. It can be used in this ministry. Use it. And I would implore you, and as strongly as I can, use your spiritual gifts in the gathering of believers. Use your spiritual gifts with one another. Serve one another. That's really the gist of what's going on, is serve one another. And seek to do so. Seek to excel for the benefit of the entire church. For the building up of the whole church. So you go down to verse 26. Paul asks the question, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, everyone has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. I can really get my mind around what this church service must look like. They are all coming together, and it seems not that they all came in and they said, I've got something to say. And as they came into the gathering, not only did they have something to, all of them had something to say, they all wanted to say it at the same time. So that every week, everybody in the church is gathering together and I imagine, in my imagination, but I imagine just shouting over one another. I've got this to tell you, so I'm going to say it. And it appeared very spiritual. I mean, there's a psalm. I mean, nobody grumbles about reading a psalm. Nobody said, that certainly is a great beneficial thing for the church. A doctrine, to be able to stand up and to explain a particular point of doctrine, that's a great benefit to the church. These are good things. But to do them all at the same time, or to divide for position with one another to be able to say these things, to be able to get my few moments of notice in the gathering, that's of no value. That in fact is the antithesis, the contrary to love. Rather, he says, let all things be done unto edifying. And then goes on and he begins to explain what that looks like. But he's saying, let it all be done for edifying. When you gather together, you know, speak in turn. If you're going to speak in tongues, in an unknown tongue, make sure there's an interpreter there. If you have a psalm, you know, wait until it's the appropriate time to give the psalm. That's the gist of what he's teaching the congregation here, is when you gather together, you do not minister for self-promotion. You do not minister for notice, for some sort of acclaim or some sort of influence. Rather, you minister to build up the church. And what did we see happening here in the Corinthians is they treated spiritual gifts as if they were somehow markers of the personal importance. The more showy gifts made the individual more important. That's part of what he's addressing in chapter 12. So that they were treating the gifts as means of building up themselves. And what Corinthians 12 says is that all the gifts are necessary. So that God has given the greater honor to the less showy gifts. So, I'm going to speak a little bit loosely. I don't know if there's a spiritual gift of janitorial work. There's certainly a spiritual gift of helps that would be put into practice. Right? Cleaning the church and you know, cleaning the bathrooms, everybody's favorite job. And you know, we look at that and we you know, if we were to measure it, we would say that application, that spiritual gift of helps, like going and quietly cleaning the church, or we probably wouldn't quite say it out loud, we would say that's not necessarily as important as preaching. And yet what God has said is that less showy gift is more honorable. He gives the greater honor to. He, if you will, balances out the honor that there will not be division, there will not be strife within the church, that it will not be everyone arguing for and fighting for that position of notice. But rather he honors that selfless, unassuming, unnoticed ministry. Because ministry is not about impressing others. It is about serving others. And so when you look at one another with genuine love, you genuinely desire the eternal best of each other, then when you come together to edify, to help one another, to serve one another, so that you will be more like Jesus. So let's put some application on this for just a second. The goal of speaking in the church, whether it be preaching from the pulpit, whether it be teaching a Sunday school class, the goal of that public teaching and preaching is to edify one another. And there's a public testimony given. The goal is to edify one another by whatever's being said, helping one another to be like Jesus. The goal of singing in the church is to edify one another. We don't just do it because we like singing. We do it for the purpose of helping one another be like Jesus. The goal of showing mercy to others, of ministering to one another in a time of need, or just that comfort and that compassion that encourages a heart. The goal of that is to edify. It's not to gain influence or to get the notice that, hey, that's a really, really kind person there. She's such a sweet person. Makes me feel so good. Rather, the goal is to edify. The goal of effectively and skillfully administrating the affairs of the church. It's not just so the church runs smoothly and that the bills are paid on time and that we have, all our ducks in a row, but rather the goal of effectively administrating the affairs of the church is to edify one another. The goal of giving, of graciously giving, whether it be through the offering or whether it be through other avenues of giving, is to edify one another. The goal of hospitality, of opening up your home to others, is certainly not to show them how nice your house is or to impress them with how good a cook you are. It is to edify them, to build them up, to be more like Christ. The goal of praying together in public, and this public prayer is beneficial because it edifies others. So that as we think about this gathering, and we think about everything we are doing, and I can keep going about through other aspects of this, it is all for the purpose of edification. We gather together to help others be like Christ. And I say that very particularly because I do not say, and I don't see in the scriptures, we gather together to be edified. Certainly that's the natural result when we're gathering to edify. And we're in this place where everyone is mutually seeking to edify. But we do not go to church and walk away disappointed and say, I wasn't edified today. Or however you might phrase that. The goal is to edify. And when we rightly understand this, we recognize that the church gathering is not a pep rally for Christians. We're not gathering together to pump one another up. And to go out and to be all excited about the church and to be all excited about being a Christian. Those, again, when we're certainly times the result of our edifications, we are encouraged, we are excited, we are rejoicing in Christ and in the things of God and in the blessings of the ministry. But that's not what I mean when I say edification, not that we just are pumping one another up. Rather, we gather together as a time of training and sharpening for the work of the ministry. That's why our statement, our purpose statement there says that we are edifying and equipping. They go together. So that as we gather together, it's getting the tools and the training and the sharpening that we need to go out and to do the work of the ministry. If I can give a comparison, I would say the church gathering is more like a battalion of soldiers who have been brought off of the front lines for a time of recovery, time of refreshing, of retraining, and of resharpening so they can be more effective when they go back out into the war. So these ideas that commonly view the church as a social club or a concert of some sort or even a fortress against the world or a political rally or a civic organization or a family reunion of some sort, all of these views overlook that central function of gathering together for the goal of edification. So as we think about this ministry, it just, I'll say the word again, it's just simply serving. It's just simply serving. It's doing whatever it is that God has enabled you to do for the benefit of another, for the spiritual benefit of another. So that we gather together and we get involved so we can work good. And that in that doing good works, we're helping one another be like Jesus. So why is this? Let me end with this. Why is this edification so important? Of course, I tried to show you from a couple passages here that that's certainly our purpose. It's why we're given gifts. It's why we're put together in a church body. But go back to the book of Romans. Let me show you a couple other individual verses here just very, very briefly. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them who are the called according to His purpose. What's His purpose? Verse 29 tells us, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. God determined your salvation. Determine that in your salvation you would be conformed to Christ. You would be made like Christ. Verse 30, I love verse 30. I don't want to stop at the end of verse 29 because verse 30 says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. This purpose of being made like Christ is being accomplished. It is being accomplished. We are, by the decree, the determination of God, are going to be like Christ. So that 1 Corinthians 15 verse 49 says that when we put off this life, we will put on the image of Jesus. So that when this life ends, as believers, we do not go out from here and we go into heaven and we still carry with us all of our failures and all of our frailties and all of our weaknesses and all of our sinfulness. But rather we put on that which is like Christ. We stand there in heaven fully conformed to Christ's likeness. So that, as Romans 8 describes it, He is the firstborn among many brethren. That is, we look across heaven and we see the throngs of saints. We do not see a host of different individuals, but rather we see a family who all bear strong resemblance to Christ, the chiefest of this household. In Romans, if you go over a couple chapters, Romans chapter 13, Paul is teaching them how to live in this world. And he says very simply in Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this great glorification that is going to be accomplished. We are being made like Christ, but in the meantime, we are to be putting on Christ-likeness. We are to take off this old man and all of the corruptions and to put on Christ. And so he goes on, and we see in Romans chapter 14, which we're actually going to be looking at and next week, that the priority is that of edification, so that he says in verse 2 of chapter 15, let every one of us please his neighbor, not pleasing ourselves, not satisfying our own liberties, but pleasing, serving our neighbors for his good to edification. That we're serving one another to edify them, because Christ himself is our example. He did not come to please himself. He did not come to satisfy his own desires and his own whims. He came to do that which was good, beneficial, eternally necessary for his people. And so as we gather with one another, as we interact with one another, we are to serve one another, taking these spiritual gifts that are ours. They are given to us by the Holy Spirit of God, and using them, wielding them effectively and zealously, then we will serve these around us, so that as a result of our interaction, as a result of our ministry together, we are helping each other be like Jesus.